it's another game week to discuss proper English football. Nothing else brings joy to my heart more than coming here and talking with this boy. Yes, before we start this properly, let me first announce it. Two of these boys have decamped from Manchester United.
But excuse me. I don't know why you're starting with that. Are you not going to even greet the audience first? Are you not meant to greet first before you start your announcement?
This is what you call a proper opening announcement. A very, very good opening line. Damola and Pelumi have with their foot chair. I get a short receipt of Pelumi with his full mind saying he's not supporting Bayern Munich, but we'll come back to that in a few seconds. Damola, good evening, welcome to the Trust of Us. How are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you doing? Last game week for me was fine because Madrid came back from one go down and we won.
Ladies and gentlemen,
excuse
me, we have another brother.
Give me issue.
After the title in the corner, starting from Man U, we see some of them Man City. We see some of them like our brother here just in Madrid, but we'll get there. Anyways, let's dig into last weekend results. Aston Villa against Everton 2-1. Arsenal against Leicester City 4-2. Brighton against Newcastle goalless draw. Man City against anything different. Have you seen
the film? Not
he was quite okay. I get 2-2. Well, I'm just this one. Go let's go. I like the penalty. My team passed the penalty, so I'm happy. My idea was smiling. Then the match that made people start the training of the country from my side. And I get
oh, good.
Then, in fact, let me answer that. Come up now. Let's go.
On Sunday, Nottingham Forest beat West Ham by 1-0. To be very honest, I feel like West Ham could have scored like 5 goals in that game. He did not nag the one that Nagba. The one that was ruled out by VR was ruled out by VR. When they had chance to not score from penalty, they can ask now to pass to the end of the group. Also that. Chelsea against Tottenham Hotspur. That's a controversial game right there because a lot of things happened in that game. That people were being per se, but let's just say some things went wrong, but we'll get into that in a few seconds. Liverpool against Crystal Palace on Monday night rounded up the game week by playing a 1-1 draw. Now, well, let me ask you, before we get into the analysis, Brentford 4, Manchester. You did not hear me clearly. Let me repeat that. Brentford scored.
I don't know. Excuse me. There's no difference. Like no. There's a thin line. You know, there's a thin line between. A thin line between body positivity and harassment. Brentford scored 4 times against Chelsea last season. So okay. just keep the energy. They beat okay. United 4-0. So that's their problem now, Abi. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So now let me ask you, where exactly was your highest point of the game weekend? Was it Brentford? Was it Chelsea? Was it Liverpool? Which one exactly was it?
It was definitely Arsenal versus Leicester game because you know Gabriel Jesus, everybody was expecting him to pop, you know, and he finally, in fact, he over popped the last game. I made a mistake, and I think for the past 2 weeks now, the mistake I've been making is my captaincy. I've had two errors, you know. Just 2 times, I refused to captain the right person. I was supposed to captain Gabriel Jesus. I left my captaincy on Son. And this is the same Son couldn't do anything against Chelsea. So, my last point was Arsenal-Leicester, you know. The game was interesting. It was end-to-end football. And Arsenal was on top as well. Yeah, I'm with you.
So, can we call him a prodigal son?
Who is that?
You say you captain Son.
Yeah. okay. Okay.
That's quite interesting. So now follow me. Oh yeah, sorry. Before I go on, we have a new Bayern fan in the house. He's joining us live from wherever he is right. He has turned it apart from the redemption camp convention that he just returned from. He has also returned back to his sources. He's no longer a Man United fan, as he claims. Follow me, how are you doing?
I'm very well, very well. Thank you.
How does life feel outside Manchester United?
Ah, my God, my mental health is stable, and then you know, I'm supporting a winning club now.
Don't worry. Hopefully they don't start losing, because if they do, of course I'll be here for him. So, Kwame, what was your highest point of the game week? We had Arsenal. Damala picked Arsenal Leicester zone. Was it United losing? Was it Chelsea Tottenham with the last minute draw? Was it Liverpool dropping points on Monday night? What was your highest point of the game week?
For me, I didn't, you know, the thing is, because like you said earlier, I was at the redemption camp. Network is usually very bad. So I didn't see any game at all. I mean, I just saw the highlights on Monday. Yeah, that was when I had time to see all the highlights. That network was better. So, you know, I didn't see any game.
Actually, Adam, if I was speaking about the game, I would have picked Chelsea Tottenham.
Because I think that was okay. So let me my top three is Arsenal, Leicester, Chelsea, Tottenham, and then Liverpool, Crystal Palace. So those are the three games I'll pick. Because for Chelsea, Tottenham, I think Chelsea could have won the game comfortably if it wasn't for the generational talent, Mr. Kai Havertz, missing an open net from a very sumptuous course by Reece James. You know, a lot of things went wrong in the forward department of Chelsea.
Forget about this. Chelsea had chances apart from that Havertz miss. Chelsea could have had 3-4 before I came to the last minute. Two of
us. Yeah, Sterling missed. He blasted the shot over net. You know, just a couple of normal things for Chelsea forwards. There's no winner Lukaku to blame anymore.
Exactly. It was fun. The match was that. Speaking on that game, just round up our preview. Speaking on that game, again, everybody, and I mean every almost everybody, I mean every analyst, sometimes they went in with the idea of Chelsea going to switch Chelsea off their feet at 10, because even me, I have a ticket to what happened, but the way Chelsea started the season, the way Tottenham started the season, it was quite straightforward to where it should go. But at the end of the day, you look at it and you're like, the form goes out the window. And I think that actually worked into play in that particular match. Chelsea rejuvenated themselves. Tottenham were not what we expected Tottenham to be. And both their goals, to this very moment, have controversies in them. That's the way I would put it. Because there was, for the first goal, for Højbjerg's equalizer, there was of what Charleston side was he blocking the goalkeeper's view. And for the second goal with Harry Kane's header in the last minute, there was even this one is definitely controversy. This one is a full-blown, I would not call it, can we call it the criminal offense? What Christian Romero did to Kukurea? let me get your thoughts on that one.
Adam.
Go ahead, Balu.
As for the first goal, based on the highlights I saw, Richarlison wasn't interfering with play and he wasn't blocking the view of Mendy. Mendy is just a chicken. So no, please. That goal is right.
I'm just saying that there was a little controversy, because even after the match, I was seeing Sky Sports analysis and everything. And this guy actually made a case out of it. They kind of froze the frame, showed Richarlison, everything like that. And personally, the goal stood, because I don't think right before he left Højbjerg's boots. And of course, that to me is a solid goal. But of course, I don't know, it was counted and all, but at the end of the day, I felt like, why exactly are you making a case out of something that is not exactly supposed to be blown out of the
court? Adam.
Yes.
I feel like the highest point of that game was Tuchel and Conte going at each other. At the end of the game. It was really funny.
It was quite interesting to see actually. Let me ask you about that second equalizer. What exactly happened there? Just prior to the equalizer, the first corner they took at that moment, we could see Cristiano Ribeiro with all his power in his wrist and his fingers dragging Marco Pereira's head.
Marco Pereira.
Anthony Taylor did not deem it fit. Okay, let's pardon. Okay, fine. The replica.
No. Adam. No. Anthony Taylor was not in charge of the VAR.
Why is the VAR not calling him back to see that?
That would be for the VAR, not for Anthony Taylor. I think that's why we have VAR, isn't it? We have VAR what VAR does now, as at this moment, is to call the referee back to clear and obvious errors. So was it not Mike Dean that was out of VAR? So Mike Dean did not deem what happened as an error on the part of Anthony Taylor, because he didn't see it. If he had seen it and he had overlooked it, that would have been different. But maybe Anthony Taylor just didn't see it. But in as much as Mike Dean didn't call him and say, okay,
somebody in the VAR, because after the match, I think Monday night when I was on radio, we made a full blow case out of that. You can't ignore something that big, something that obvious. You can see him. If I went to shoot and I just put a random lady's attachment like that, quack, off her head, she would hit me immediately after shouting. But if I don't need that on the football pitch, out of what? I don't know how to describe it. Let's get into the game with itself.
Right.
Start the kickoff. We are starting with Tottenham against Wolverhampton Wanderers. Goal rush on Saturday 3 PM. Crystal Palace against Aston Villa. Everton against Nottingham Forest. Fulham against Brentford. Liverpool against Southampton. Saturday 5:30 PM on Saturday evening. There's Bournemouth against Arsenal. Games, Leeds United against Chelsea, West Ham against Brighton, those two games are 2 PM. Newcastle against Man City is our final game on Sunday at 4:30 PM. And the talk of the game week is on Monday night when Manchester United host at the Old Trafford. Now, the ones that actually need to talk about, let's look at the big boys. Now, where exactly are we swinging with this game? Because, of course, Tottenham now have 4 points out of the
Wolves have been very poor.
They have just 1 point out of six.
Wolves have been very poor, so I'm definitely giving that to Tottenham. So I don't think there should be, maybe if a miracle wants to happen, it might happen. But as things stand now, I'm giving it to Tottenham straight away. Tottenham.
And another advantage is the fact that Tottenham are at home. So
Tottenham, exactly.
The big white wall in front of Wolves. This might actually be bad because you look at last season. It was not last season. It was Tottenham was the one on top last season after 3 points to go 3 goals for it. So that was quite interesting to look at. But one big thing, I really need them to step in. Of course, their goalkeeper he did well for me last weekend. I will not lie. I mean, a clean sheet, a penalty save, 3 bonus points. You had to understand your team last weekend. Enjoy yourself. Get like me. For those who don't know, I scored 91 points last weekend. I wanted to get
please, guy, rest. Rest, please.
Are we here to discuss your FPL or to discuss football?
All of them going together. FPL. But looking away from that one, Nottingham Forest, with all their multiple signings, that one, in fact, let me ask you this question. I think you even caught a few more games than our brother on the other side. Nottingham Forest against West Ham, looking at that game, all their multiple signings
against Everton actually, not man against
no,
Everton.
I'm talking about last weekend before we talk about their
best game. Okay.
You look at their last game against West Ham. Was it down to the international brilliance? Was it down to the defense being coordinated? Was it down to I've only had a very stellar game. 8 of their new signings started that game. What exactly worked for them, and how do you think this time around it's not going to be on home ground? They are going to Everton. And even after that, they've signed another 3 extra players. Remo Frola is now part of that team. Emmanuel Dennis is part of that team. Mm-hmm. I think there's another name I'm missing right now. That puts their total signings at about 15 or 16. How exactly do these guys plan to cope with all this? Because I don't understand.
Yeah, number one. Nottingham Forest left the championship with most of their first team players. What they had them on loan. and most of them on free transfers. So they when they got into the Premier League, of course they have to do an overhaul of players, bringing fresh legs, bringing new players to cope with the intensity of the Premier League. And right now, I think Nottingham Forest have like one of the best midfield in the Premier League. If you look at their midfield now with the new players that they've signed, if they are able to cope with it, if they are able to, you know, organize themselves, I think they really have a fighting chance in the Premier League. And to the point to Nottingham West Ham, Nottingham were clearly, you know, they were clearly the better side in the game. They attacked a lot. They attacked a lot and they had more shots on goals than Tottenham. Even though it was only one, they had more shots on goals than Tottenham. They were more coordinated than West Ham. Because I watched the game, and even with Awoniyi, because Awoniyi wasn't like I can, he wasn't really, he was trying his best, but he wasn't really in the game. And if he had a better game, they would have scored more. But at least he still got a winning goal for them. So I think against this game against Everton. Everton has been poor, anyway. So
they also
0 points. So well, I can see Nottingham coming on top, or maybe if there will be a Frank Lampard masterclass, anyway. So just that.
Just to look at one more game from our 3 PM kickoffs. One game that catches my eye as well. Leicester City against Southampton. Follow me. This one is coming to you. This game is. For this game, you look at, I think, 2 seasons ago, when Leicester won by 9 goals to nothing. But away from the World Cup this season, Leicester City this season has not exactly been the most impressive side. I mean, against Arsenal last weekend, second people, who are on. But at the same time, you look at what I think Leicester City is. They lost a 2-goal lead. Then you come into this game, and of course, they lost last weekend against Arsenal. Southampton, on the other hand, just one draw where they came back from 2 goals up. I think there were 2 goals down. United, yes.
Against Leeds, they were.
Which means they are also on high spirits. So where exactly does this one swing is my question at this point. Let's try again, Southampton.
Me, in my opinion, if it doesn't end in a draw, then it will end in a Southampton win. That's it for me. I feel like Southampton are more coordinated. Like, you know, like we see in Pigeon, then get yourself very well. Like, then sabi waiting, then they do. But for Leicester City, Leicester City seem like a team in disarray. I mean, you look at the team, you look at Wesley Fofana. Fofana has refused to train to force a move to Chelsea. A lot of the players would rather not be at the club. If you look at Maddison, if a good offer comes in for Maddison today, Maddison would jump ship. You look at Tielemans. Tielemans is actively looking to leave. You know, I just feel like now they've also sold Kasper Schmeichel, who was one of the leaders in that squad. I don't think Leicester know what they're doing at this point in time.
Before putting it in the back of the post. So that was also a good game, man. I'm not sure. I just might be actually leaning towards Southampton win or draw as well, if I'm being honest. Then Saturday round up, Arsenal against Bournemouth. Bournemouth won their first game. They lost their second. They were expected to lose their second game, and they did not fall our hands. They lost 4 goals to nothing against Manchester City. But now we're looking at Arsenal. Arsenal are on a flying start right now. 6 goals scored, 2 goals conceded, 6 points out of six. Good. This is an annually promoted side. But Bournemouth have been that one look at this is not big news for. I mean, every time in the Premier League, if they are not struggling, in fact, most of the time, they are known to trouble Chelsea, beat Chelsea one way or the other, no matter what form Chelsea is in. So these guys are not exactly strangers to picking on big teams and getting points off them. It might be too early to call, but are these guys enough to actually take down this high flying Arsenal? Damola.
As you said, that's now on the flying start. So, and I don't see, because this is just like, let me say, like, yeah, it will be an easy game for Arsenal. I don't see Arsenal I don't even see Arsenal drawing the game. So I see, yeah, Bournemouth might have any fighting chance against any other small team of its size, maybe, that you can pick against. But against Arsenal are in form. They are in blazing hot form right now. And I think they will sweep Bournemouth outside as well. 3 points, maximum points for Arsenal.
Three maximum points for Arsenal, please. Now, this one is quite simple, because you look at it now. Leeds in their first game, one goal down against Wolverhampton Wanderers. Leeds in their second game lost a 2-goal lead against Southampton. Leeds in their third game would be hosting Chelsea, that so far have 4 points out of six. Same Leeds also have 4 points out of six. Where are we standing? This is Elland Road and Rodrigo. So in fact, let me give you a bit of stat blast. Rodrigo Rice, highest scoring player in FPL this season, with his 3 goals in 2 games. So where exactly are we looking at? Follow me. This is against Chelsea. What does it look like? What are you seeing?
Chelsea win, narrow win, but Chelsea win. Leads to cause a bit of trouble, ruffle some feathers. But then I still think Chelsea have it in them. Plus, I think, you know, that draw to Tottenham, knowing they could have won, they would still be reeling in it. It will feel like a defeat for them. For Chelsea, it felt like they dropped 2 points. It didn't feel like they gained the points. So I feel like for that reason, you know, they would come out fighting against Leeds. And I don't think Leeds have what it takes. Fine, I know that under you say Marsh, Leeds have been really improved. They've really improved. Nah, I still think a Chelsea win.
Away from that one, now this game is something. On one side, I would say it's a cause for alarm. West Ham United. Pardon me, excuse me. West Ham United this season, their record has been 2 losses. A 2-0 loss against West Ham, against Manchester City on opening weekend on Sunday. Then you look at last weekend. That match, I would not blame West Ham for anything. Because
we are
ruled out
our goal.
Yes,
I think West Ham against Nottingham Forest. I feel like I want to take go back. I feel like West Ham didn't have luck, because you know, as I said, I didn't see any of the games. I saw the highlights. I mean, I saw the chances that went the way. How many times did they
strike? I saw the game, and even the commentator mentioned it. He said Lady Luck does not have it in for West Ham today. His exact words.
West Ham could have easily scored 3 in that game. They could have easily scored goals. I feel like Nottingham Forest didn't create enough chances as much as West Ham created. But then, of course, they didn't have luck. And, you know, in football, you need talent and you need luck too. So they had talent. Apparently, they didn't have luck.
Because you look at that particular game. They had a goal ruled out by VAR because of course, Michael Antonio was being a bully to one of the defenders of Nottingham Forest in that game. It was an unnecessary foul, actually. That's what I'll call it. Then away from that one, you look at their 2 strikes that hit the post. Manuel Lanzini from outside. Sorry, Pablo Fornals from outside the area. Beautiful strike at the beginning of the second half. Straight onto the crossbar. The follow-up from Thomas Feda. Then Henderson made a very vile attempt at saving the ball that just hit the crossbar. Sprung back up, because that was exactly what it looked like. A spring in his moves. He jumped back up, saved the head. Of course, it resulted in West Ham not scoring in that game. Away from that one, you look at the other chance where Benrahma also had a free kick from the edge of the area straight onto the crossbar. Follow me.
You know, West Ham also missed the penalty in that match, bro.
Yeah, I'm getting there. Declan Rice got the penalty. Sorry, pardon me. Declan Rice was not. I think who is the defender on the arm. Declan Rice was there for the taking. In fact, at that point, I think. After Masnoubou has left, my question, you might need to actually address that later, but who takes penalties for West Ham United might need to be reviewed. they can rise. That particular penalty was not exactly the best of penalties. Or maybe it was just because he was having a drab day, because that game in particular, the was not exactly, it was not the Declarice we know or that usually I would watch on any day. But now, let's come into this week. West Ham are 2 games down, 2 losses, no goals scored, 3 goals conceded. And they come into a Brighton side that beat Manchester United on opening night weekend and they took a draw off Newcastle on their second in their second game. 1 clean sheet to their name, 1 goal conceded, 2 goals scored, 4 points out of 6. This is game week 3. Where exactly are we heading in this game? West Ham against Brighton and Hove Albion. Damola.
So even as Brighton swept outside Manchester United in their first their first game.
Such a sweet, generous, yeah. Manchester United.
Yeah, they swept aside Manchester United and it was goalless against Newcastle anyways. So I see Brighton as a more how would I put it? They are of high morale. They are of high morale right now in the Premier League, because you know last season they started well as well last season, but towards the middle of the season and towards the ending of the season they did their usual, you know, as a mid-table club would do. So against West Ham, I see them. I will give them the upper hand anyways, because West Ham, the West Ham I watched last game, all those ones, all these shots, blah blah blah. Nottingham Forest created more chances than they did. Nottingham Forest played, they played well. They broke on the counter. They caught them out with passes. They had more shots on target than they did. West Ham were not really organized in the game against Nottingham Forest. So well, I see Brighton doing the same to them, but I see Brighton punishing them. Maybe them getting a few goals, but I'm giving it as a Brighton win.
But do you know, Adam?
Yes.
You know,
let me go ahead.
Let's not forget that it was actually Brighton that denied West Ham to be in the Europa League this season. You know, West Ham needed that game, and then they went to Brighton, and then Brighton beat them 1-0.
3-1.
No, it was 3-1 rather. Sorry, I was thinking of the United's game. I lost 1-0.
3-1.
So maybe I think maybe.
Brighton will be
finally winning. On Sunday. Let's go into the final game of Sunday. I don't think there's much to discuss. Man City against Newcastle. Are we all in agreement that Man City win?
Definitely, of course. I don't see them dropping points. But you know, as usual. Okay, as I want to say, as usual, Man City would give out 3 points to a small club. Though I don't know if that would be Newcastle anyways, but I think it is safe to say Man City win. I didn't get that. What did you say?
Last meeting, last meeting,
last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting, last meeting,
last Adam, I know I've left Manchester United for good because, of course, you're causing me depression, but I have to state that there are no two sides of the coin. It's just one side of a coin. The coin is just Liverpool. Please,
when you look at Liverpool's form this season, there is no way you don't exactly consider United to stand a chance. Let's be honest.
Forget United. United won't stand a chance against Aimby FC. Forget that big.
Also, for statistics purposes, last season between both sides was also an aggregate score of 9-0. 5-0 at Old Trafford, 4-0 at Arsenal. Let's look at it from both sides of the divide. Actually, United this season 6 goals conceded, 1 own goal scored in their favor.
Hallelujah. And you stick to that team. and you expect me to stick to a team that can't even score. Let me say you are losing. You can't even score. God forbid.
And why I also said Liverpool might actually not be as strong as they expect them to be. There is no, I am still of the agenda of that losing Sadio Mane, that Sadio Mane was not properly replaced, let me put it that way, by the replacement of Darwin Nunez. And you look at Darwin Nunez, he got a red card, he got sent against Manchester United on Monday night. Darwin Nunez is out of that game for headbutting Joachim Andersen on Monday night against Crystal Palace. So now, there is Diogo Jota on the bench. Sorry, pardon me, let me rephrase that. Jota is in the hospital. There is no... if you look at Liverpool's injuries list so far, I think there's about 10 players already on that list. And they might... let me ask you this question. Who joins them as a third man in attack right now? Because all they have is just Salah and Diaz as fit attackers. And you look at the defense as well. They have to partner Nat Phillips with Van Dijk. There is no Gomez. There is no Konate. There is no Matip. But let me go ahead.
Adam, see.
All right. Yes, they are injured. United's players down the pitch seem like they should take their place in the hospital with their shambolic, lifeless displays. Those displays should be the displays of people who are locked up in a mortuary. Honestly speaking.
Yamala, let me come to you. Manchester United against Liverpool. I'm just giving you both standpoints as to why anybody can actually pick that game. Which one carries more weight?
Actually, as there was, I think there somebody sent in, did I see it or somebody sent it in? He said, Manchester United, a club that has been losing, their games, and meeting Liverpool, a club that has been drawing their games on Monday, one record is going to end. It's either Man United finally pick up a point, or Liverpool finally loses the match, or they win. So one record is going to end. Well, I don't know which one is going to end that day. But Liverpool have been they've been below par. This is they've been shambolic. I don't know what's wrong with them. I expected more of them because the performance they put up against Man City in the preseason. In the Community Shield game, it was that of a club that knows what it's doing and is ready to challenge for the Premier League once again. As they always do, but I don't understand what they played against Fulham. Against Fulham, they were dominated or maybe they underestimated Fulham. And then let me say they, because they've been riddled with injuries anyway. And Klopp actually has.
That brings me to the question: who part? I'm sure who is there? I mean, we've seen them filling their shoes in defense. Van Dijk is available. Now Phillips is not likely joining. Nobody gets back. I know that Robertson available. Thank God. But the midfield, of course, is usually, of course, there's Milner, there's Henderson, it's looking good. But that attack right now, there is no Jota, there is no Darwin Nunez, there is no Bobby Firmino. Who plays as a third attacker with Salah and Diaz?
As this guy was frustrated to the point of, him losing himself the other day. And as he has done, I don't know what club. I think club have to change his position and bring in maybe... Fabio Carvalho to play behind Salah and Diaz.
I said Carvalho can play as a left winger.
Okay, so if Carvalho plays as a left winger, so you're saying maybe the middle of Salah moves to the middle. How is that?
No, Salah in the middle, of course. Diaz in the middle. How? Salah in the middle. Diaz on the right, because I feel like Diaz's qualities are best utilized from the wing. Fine, Salah, we can also say the same about Salah, but I feel like Salah can still do a better job playing as a false nine or as a nine, better than Luis Diaz.
Okay. Let me just put this out just for agenda's sake. There are two draws this season, speaking of Liverpool now. After they have both draws, we've heard one or two. One is there one nasty excuse or something always comes to play. It's been antics for years now. Whenever the game does not go his way, he always has one excuse or the other. After Crystal Palace's game, guess what he said?
He said the pitch was dry.
No, that was against Fulham. Now against Crystal Palace, he came out to say the week prior to that game that somebody was pulling out because of something. It was like they had.
No, he said a witch came into the. Yeah, I read that. He said a witch came into their training compound or something like that. The guy is funny.
That's all our 10 games for the game weekend. I'm tired. I can't believe I'm actually going to see this right now before I get to this game. Manchester United against Liverpool is actually going to be a match where both teams have to suffer for points. This game is usually a big match where both teams come in and everybody wants to fire and everything. But I don't know. If I let me just put it out there. Damola, what was your prediction for this game?
If I want to be sentimental, you know, my old club now, you know, the old club never that. I'm seeing United picking up a point or maybe 3 points. Anyways, I'm seeing them, but I don't see them, but I'm seeing them.
As for me, I'm not sentimental. I'm logical, very logical. Over logical, you said Damola said this is a game where people are meant to fire. People want to fire. See, the only thing that should happen in this game is those United players should be fired. If I have
okay.
That team, my God, I've
in fact, I'm putting it out there now to all our listeners to hear. Maybe during the World Cup period when there's no Premier League or during the international break, I am going to be here. In fact, here we need to analyze some of these big teams that have failed us so far. I'm hoping by then maybe it's more than just United to talk about. Maybe if Liverpool continue with this nonsense they are doing, we might have to add them in that league. But we are going to come here. We are going to look at the season and look at what these big teams.
Wait. But you know, we've been talking since morning. How will I explain to my children when I eventually grow up that Barcelona signed. They signed Rafinha. They renewed Dembele's contract. They have Lewandowski. And they failed to score a goal in 90 minutes against a bottom. Hey, Jesus Christ. Do you know the excuse? By the way, you know the excuse Lewandowski was giving? He said six players are marking him. They are playing. What do you think they're playing?
After Lewandowski left Bayern Munich, I've cut ties with him. We have moved on. I don't care whatever he's doing in Barcelona. Barcelona, 34-year-old, they spent 50 million euros.
Ladies and gentlemen, look at these grown men. Look at these grown men. Shaming them. Let's round up with our FPL section quickly. For those who don't know, I am now on top of the FPL league of the podcast boys.
Calm down. Sheikh, you like the calm down.
Go ahead. Calm down.
See, I want to say that life is so good. In the past 1 week that I've been supporting Bayern, I just get to see training videos. Even in the training videos, you see players who have life in them, players who want to win everything. That guy will be around for a while.
Let's look at the FPL section. Which player are you looking at? Let me ask you this.
Don't rush us. Bayern Munich.
Have a time limit, too.
Bayern will win things. While Manchester United will go on ship.
Okay. I deal with you. Oh yeah.
Namala, Lambert Martinelli has collected 3 prize increases in 2 game weeks. What's happening? Are we cooking something?
Me say I've got that for my team. Oh.
I'm not about to buy him outside.
So for my team, when I was blind, but now I can see. When I was blind, I had Diaz as my goalkeeper and I had Diogo Dalot in my team. But now I am wise. I've seen the light. So in my goalkeeping session, I have Sanchez. Sanchez of Brighton. And then I have Alexander Arnold because he's going to deliver maximum damage to our Red Devils. They are Red Devils then. And then I have James. I have Cancelo. I have Kulusevski against Wolves. I have Martinelli against Bournemouth. I have Rodrigo against Chelsea because I think he's under like 90 or 100% sure that, you know, Leeds always have their way with Chelsea most times. And then I have De Bruyne. He faces Newcastle. I also have Alan, I have Mitrovic, and I have Jesus against Bournemouth as well. He's my captain. Anything that happens, always cap Jesus. It can never go wrong.
As at this moment of this recording, my team is the same thing I announced last weekend. But my two transfer moves that I am planning, I'm looking at it, and of course, I just mentioned Odegaard for my team, number one. My second exit would most likely be Brennan Johnson of Nottingham Forest, because Nottingham Forest have way too many players right now. Not be patient enough for me to actually wait. I'm just not efficient enough. And of course, I don't think we'll be getting that much playing time, but it's still yet to be determined. So, but I don't want to take the risk. I think I'll keep Lingard then, because Lingard gave an assist last weekend, so I can manage that. Brennan Johnson, nothing so far, so why not? And I'm looking at Brian and Mbeumo as a replacement. Brentford actually have very, very good fixtures. I think their next three games have a fixture difficulty rating of 2, which means they are very, very easy. There's Fulham in there. I can't remember the other two matches, but they are looking very good. If you are like me, you can look into it. It's not just Brian and Mbeumo, you can look into a Brentford player. Maybe a defender, Ben Mee, is some very good minutes this season. He's cooking a lot. Brian Mbeumo, like I mentioned, he's not, of course, he has 7 million that we are not using. You can buy him at 20.
Let's hear from you. What are your FPL advices for this weekend?
Let's round up.
Is it still on?
Balumi
is not here.
I don't think you can hear.
Okay.
Oh, I'm back. Sorry. As for my FPL, I've already done my transfers for this game week. I have 2 transfers. I've done 3 transfers. Apparently, I needed them. Firstly, Odegaard. I think I let Odegaard go for Martinelli. Then, secondly, I let Alisson, who cannot seem to keep a clean sheet, I let him go for Ederson, because I cannot continue with that Brazilian rubbish he's doing. Then, for my third transfer, I actually had Leon Bailey at the start of the season, because when Bailey scored the
game, Now, allow Leon Bailey for that price drop.
Then I now saw that this boy is like Bitcoin. He's beginning to dip in my hands. Phew! I sold him. I sold him for Da Silva. Da Silva of Brentford.
How many money in your balance now? I think Da Silva is worth about 2.6 million. Is about 5 million.
600k pounds. I have 0.6 million presently, which I'm looking to use to buy an upgrade on cash, party cash, because I think cash is now injured, but I don't want to take more in.
How much is Matty Cash's normal price?
Yes, his price has dropped to 4.9 million.
Yes, actually.
So if you have 5.5, I don't know yet, but after Perisic is what I'm calling it, because of course he created the assist that actually led to our team. So Perisic is around 5.5.
No,
you are like me. Newcastle have kept 2 clean sheets as well this season. So into the likes of what's his name now? A Newcastle defender has say about 4.6. I personally have Kieran Trippier million of 5. So why not try?
Yes, Trippier. I'll get in Trippier later. That'll be next against game week 4. I'll get in Trippier. I'll sell cash because cash is now injured. He's beginning to dip. I cannot take more.
Trippier is facing Man City. It's facing Man City.
Oh, okay. Then after this game,
It's after this game we can go for Trippier.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. Any final words, gentlemen?
If you are in the world, you better if you go and enter if you are in the dark before enter the light too. If you remain in the dark, now you know waiting.
I don't think that quote is about life and darkness. I think it's about marriage. Who am I to say?
You are the one that not know that one.
Thank you guys very much for listening. It's always a pleasure.
Calm down. My parting line. So my parting line is: if by now you have not found an alternative option from the devil, you have not left the devil to move to. If you go to hellfire, don't say God didn't want you. That's all I'll say.
Thank you very much for listening to Tedros Podcast. We'll see you again before.